And welcome back to the Lolly Carter NFL Draft Show here on DK Sports Radio. I'm Chris Carter and he's Dale Lolly. We are your hosts for the show. And Dale, you know, we've been saying all along about the Steelers that, you know, fans that were panicking about free agency, about, oh, they haven't done this and they haven't done that, and they're losing this guy and that guy. And now half the guys that they thought were gone are already back on the roster. They've already re-signed Juju. They re-signed Tyson Alulu. And this week, they re-signed Vince Williams. Now, aside from the normal rhetoric of people of what they said, Dale, how much do you think this might impact Kevin Colbert's decision in the early rounds to go after a linebacker? Because you and I have been talking about there's a lot of really good prospects out there in the early rounds.
There are, and I think this does affect it to a large degree in that I think the Steelers are quite obviously now targeting a running back in the first round. And the fallback option, well, you know, if let's say the top two running backs are gone, or they don't feel there's one of those inside linebackers that they can't pass up and they decide to go that route, they don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you have Vince Williams there. He can start this year, or, you know, you just go into camp and say, okay, Vince Williams, Robert Spillane, battle it out. Who's going to start next to Devin Bush? I do think that they need to bring in another guy at that position. When they do that, I believe it should be somebody who has a lot of the athletic traits that Devin Bush has. You know, and if that guy's a developmental guy, he needs more seasoning, so be it, because you don't have that obvious need. I know people look at it and say, well, you know, Spillane and Vince Williams weren't good enough last year at the end of the season. Sure. Yeah. When they're out there together. Yeah, that's not good when they're out there together. Now you're back to what you had when you had John Bostic and Vince Williams out there.
Exactly.
And that's not a linebacker who is very good at coverage. You know, that's why they were trying Marcus Allen out there to try to replicate some of that speed and coverage ability of a Devin Bush. That's why you moved up to the number 10 pick in the draft to go get Devin Bush, because those guys aren't always available. Well, this year you've got some guys there that fit that athletic – that have those athletic traits that can, you know, perhaps be coverage guys. And I'm thinking that, you know, this is part of the process of what's going on in college football. You're seeing a lot of these guys now making the move from safety to linebacker at the college level. For a while there, we were seeing that happen at the NFL level, where you'd see a guy like a Deion Buchanan go from being a bigger safety to being all of a sudden now he's a linebacker. You know, we saw the same thing a few years ago here with the Steelers. You know, that was what was happening. Well, now we're starting to see those guys make that transition at the college level, because the colleges are saying, well, all these teams are running spread offenses. We need to be faster in the middle of the field. We can't have these big hulking, you know, run pluggers. We got to have guys that can run and cover. So where do we find those guys? Well, let's take some safeties and make them linebackers. You know, take some cornerbacks who are maybe a little oversized for cornerback and make them safeties. And so the whole game is just kind of changing in that respect. And it's happening at the college level. Wouldn't surprise me to start seeing more coverage type linebackers coming out of the college ranks.
And one of those guys right at the top of the draft is Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. If you see JOK on any mock boards or anybody talking about, that's who they're talking about. He's pretty much, I'd say, universally the second linebacker on everyone's boards this year behind Micah Parsons.
See, I don't like him as much for the Steelers though.
No, I agree. I agree with you on that. And we talked about this before, because he is one of those guys that he's more of a safety, because he roams around. He does have great speed, but he doesn't take on blocks well. He doesn't look as confident when he's taking on the run. And that's the thing, is the Steelers, they already have Devin Bush to go sideline to sideline. They need a guy who can help with that, but also be more stout against the run, kind of like what Vince Williams does, but just at a more athletic level. And that's why I think that, you know, when people look at Zaven Collins or Baron Browning or Jabril Cox, you know, Jamie Davis, those guys fit the bill a bit more, because they can better engage in the hole and at the point of attack than a Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because, let's face it, Devin Bush is a shorter linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't hurt to have somebody with a little bit more size there next to him.
Yeah.
Who can also run. You know, again, it doesn't have to be somebody who's 6'5", but if you get it, you know, I do think that you have a problem if you have two guys who are, let's say they drafted Nick Bolton. I know a lot of people early in the process were saying they should draft Nick Bolton. Well, he's 5'11".
Yeah,
he's so now you've got two inside linebackers who are below 6 foot. You know, anytime that they're lining up against tight ends, that's going to be an issue.
Right.
You know, and you can't, you know, Devin Bush is good enough and athletic enough to cover up for some of that. But if you've got two guys on the inside who are shorter, now that becomes a bit more of a problem. So I think you're looking for somebody with a little bit more of that length.
I agree. And here's the thing. You can get those guys later in the draft now, because with Vince Williams and Spillane back, like you said, you're looking for one of those guys to pair with Devin Bush and just say, hey, you guys team up here. Now you can say, okay, it doesn't hurt you as much if you wait now for the back of the draft and you say, hey, let's, what if we talk about Monty Rice from Georgia? Or what if we talk about Charles Snowden from Virginia? And, you know, those guys, you know, Charles Snowden, he's not, he would be a guy that fits that build of, he's 6 foot six. Now, you know, he still has to, I think he still has to work to get better at, you know, about, you know, his, with his overall run defense and figuring things out. But he's a person that I could be like, yo, line up with that tight end and just make sure that the quarterback has to throw over you to get it to him. And that could be that, that brings value there, especially when, if you're drafting him in the fourth or later rounds, that's when you're saying like, you know what, it doesn't hurt if this guy isn't an immediate contributor, and you're going in saying, hey, we're still expecting Vince Williams and Robert Spillane to contribute with Devin Bush. We just now have this fourth body to go on the roster to work in with them.
Yeah. You know, I think the idea is that, again, you know, this is going to be it for Vince Williams. Probably. Yeah. I mean, he's probably going to retire after this. So you get one of these guys, you know, you did it with Ulysses Davis when you, the same year that you drafted Devin Bush, you took another guy that, you know, fit that athletic profile. It hasn't worked out. That's what happens when you take guys in the sixth round. So if you, you know, if you take a mid round draft pick and, you know, he turns into an eventual starter, that's ideal. You know, that's what they did with Vince Williams. Vince Williams was a sixth round pick who, you know, eventually worked his way into a starting role. That's not a bad way to do business.
It's not at all. And again, you take some of those shots that so occasionally they hit. You know, sixth round, you often don't get hit. Most sixth round guys, they're not even in the league within the next 2 years. But, you know, there's guys in those in those later rounds this year. You know, Dylan Moses, a guy from Alabama, I'm intrigued to see where he falls, because he's not like a supreme athlete like we've seen some Alabama linebackers be, but he's 6'3". And when he was on Alabama's defense, he displayed like, hey, that looks like a guy who knows what he's doing. He didn't look lost at all in the defense. He'd be another guy that if he's around in the with that. With
see,
that
I, team, I don't like him at all.
You don't like him at all? Even the fourth?
No, I don't like him. No production. He played all last year on a torn MCL. I get that. But he had surgery on that knee. I just don't. I think there are so many other guys that I like better in this draft. I'm just not a fan.
I understand it. There's different people. What are your opinions on, say, like a players like Garrett Wallow of TCU?
I love Garrett Wallow.
Yeah, you see, I like him too. Again, and he's 6'2", so he's a little bit taller. He'll help you challenge tight ends, and he looks more natural here. A sleeper that some people aren't talking about is the third Ohio State linebacker, Justin Hilliard. You can get him even later in the draft, and he would be another guy that you could say, hey, if it works out, if it doesn't, whatever. But
yeah, he didn't run real well. The sleeper, the guy that I really like is Derek Barnes out of Purdue.
Okay.
He started last year at outside linebacker and was productive. I think he had like 7 sacks at outside linebacker. And then they moved him back inside this year and he was productive inside. He runs well. You know, you can look at him and say, well, is he's 6 foot and a half. So he's got decent size at 245 pounds, but he runs well. And you can look at him and say, he's kind of like Lawrence Timmons. You could play him inside. You could play him outside. I just think there's some value there in that fourth round with a guy like him.
Hey, getting a guy who can fill multiple roles on your defense is always a plus. And if you can get him in the fourth round, geez, yeah, like that you find that guy that's helping you inside and on the edge on occasion, that's a huge get. So the Steelers will certainly be on the lookout for that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to keep talking to Dale about the impact of how this might shift around other needs and what might the Steelers' priorities be. We're less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, so lots to keep talking about right after this. back here on the Lolly Carter NFL Draft Show here on DK Sports Radio. I'm Chris Carter. He's Dale Lolly. We're continuing to talk about the Steelers' new impact of things. And Dale, again, you know, we acknowledged long before we even got to these discussions, you know, with being weeks into the away from the draft, that the Steelers were going to be making moves to solidify their depth chart and to make it so that they can fixate on certain positions they feel like the best value is going to be for their picks. Now, you mentioned earlier running back, it just continues to look that way. James Conner took a very tiny contract from the Arizona Cardinals to go there. It is clear the Steelers are going to invest high at the running back position, but on day two, there's still, you know, there's still those picks to go through. And you know, with the Steelers' natural picks at 55 and 87 in the second and third rounds, now, you know, we were talking about that linebacker position being there. But let's say linebacker is that fourth round pick, and you know, and you get your Derek Barnes or your Monty Rice or somewhere along those lines to help there. Now it seems to me there's a much better chance that they do get the center or the offensive line contribution on day two. And there's a lot of guys that fit really well into that area.
Yeah, it just depends on whether you're, you know, you're looking for an interior offensive lineman, if you're looking for a tackle. Some of the tackle prospects that I like that are kind of a little more unknown guys, you know, Spencer Brown from Northern Iowa.
Yeah, tested, I like Spencer Brown.
Tested really well. Stone Forsythe out of Florida is just massive. Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me of Max Starks. In that he's 6'8".
They're both 6'8". It's ridiculous.
In like 320 pounds, and just a monster, and was a, you know, a multi-year starter at Florida. Brady Christensen out of BYU. James Hudson out of Cincinnati is an interesting guy. He was a former defensive tackle who moved to at Michigan and then moved to offensive tackle. Walker Little is going to be a guy that you see him all over everybody's boards. You just don't know where he hasn't played football in 2 years, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, 2019. You know, suffered a knee injury that cost him the entire year. Then he opted out in 2020. But, you know, in 2018, you know, he was a starting left tackle at Stanford, and coming out of high school was considered the top offensive tackle prospect in this, you know, in this draft class. Mm. Deontay Smith out of East Carolina was another highly rated guy coming out of high school that, you know, people really liked. And he's got something, you know, he does some things pretty well. Jalen Moore out of Western Michigan. Another late round guy is Josh Ball out of Marshall. Apparently has some off the field stuff that teams want to check out, but you know, we'll see with him. So don't get all fat, you know, just because if the Steelers pass on one of these guys in the early, you know, on day one, doesn't mean that they're going to miss out on one of these offensive tackles. This is a deep class. And then you look at that interior offensive line, very much the same there. Yeah. You know, there's some guys in this draft that, you know, beyond, you know, Landon Dickerson or Creed Humphrey, or even Quinn Miners for that matter, that you look at and say, this guy could be a pretty good player. You know, Jack Anderson out of Texas Tech is a nice guard center type guy. Kendrick Green out of Illinois, I really like.
A lot of people have asked me about Kendrick Green because he's a guy who has occasionally played center, even though he's more of a guard.
Yeah, he's got four starts there in his career.
Right.
But he's really athletic. Mm-hmm. The thing I like about both him and Miners is that they were both high level high school wrestlers, and you know, that plays well into, you know, into their, as was Creed Humphrey for that matter. So you get those guys with that wrestling background on the interior offensive line, and they know how to use the leverage. They can fire out, you know, and do those kind of things. Drew Dahlman out of Stanford's another guy that I like. He's a little undersized and it's probably more of just a center. You probably wouldn't want him at, you know, playing guard at any point, but he's got some ability. And, you know, when I was talking with, a couple of weeks ago when we had, Greg Cosell on the show, on the drive, he mentioned, he thinks that David Moore out of Grambling could be a guy that move, you know, could make a move to center.
Hmm.
You know, he's an interesting process. He's just a shade under 6'2", but he's like 340 pounds. He's kind of shaped like a bowling ball, but he's got some athleticism to him as well. So a lot of guys there that you look at. I know you've been fascinated with Jimmy Morrissey, and that's great. I get it, Chris. You cover Pitt. So you always throw a Pitt guy in at the end of your draft.
I got to appease my readers on the Pitt page.
Those guys are way down the list, though, for me in this class. I mean,
right.
They're available, and I think, you know, they could, you know, potentially work out. But, you know, there's even a couple of the tackle prospects that you look at. that people are talking about, well, you know, maybe this guy could switch over to guard, and or I should say, well, yeah, guard or even center. You know, Jackson Carman, Alex Leatherwood, you know, Jalen Mayfield is a guy that you know, I think could do that. And then Robert Hainsey, I hear a lot of people talking about Robert Hainsey, the offensive tackle out of Notre Dame, potentially maybe being a good center prospect. What you're looking for there is one of these offensive tackles. If they've got shorter arms, a lot of times you move them inside or they just lack overall length. When you hear draft people talk about length, a lot of times it's not just how tall he is. How long are his arms?
Right.
Because you want those tackles to be, you know, to have some longer arms, because if they don't, those edge rushers will get in on them. And once they get once they get their body into them, you're in trouble.
Right. A key factor when you're an offensive tackle, when they're coming off, you need to use that your hands to jab into the chest of the opponent and keep them outside. Not only does it keep them from getting inside your frame, it forces them to take a wider route around, and that's how you help steer them around the pocket, and then you end up overrunning the quarterback. But again, that's what you get when you have like a Walker Little who's 6'7" over, say, a Jalen Moore who's like 6'4".
Right, right. So, you know, I think that – you know, I don't know that teams, it used to be, you know, these taller tackles, you know, teams kind of shied away from them. I can remember when the Steelers drafted the kid out of UCLA back in the late 80s or late 90s, I should say. His name escapes me right now. But he was like a 6'8 offensive tackle, and they took him in the third round, and he didn't work out. And it was, well, he's too tall to play tackle in the NFL. Well, now that's what you're looking for.
Right.
Everybody wants these big, these giant condors out there, you know, because they just have that great reach. And, oh, by the way, if the league isn't going to call holding, which they didn't in last year.
Yep. That's something to consider.
Why the hell not? You know, why the hell not?
I agree. And you got to consider how the NFL is being played, and especially today with all those behemoth tackles. And another thing, Dale, is I think part of the change there is that those behemoth tackles are becoming more and more athletic because college coaches are like, hey, we need you to do this. You can do that. And there's these different kind of defenses we need you to take on. These guys aren't just big dudes. They're big dudes that can move, that can shuffle their feet, that can stick with guys that are twitchy off the edge. There's a lot of value there. And those guys are amazing athletes when you understand how much weight they're moving and how quickly they're moving and how coordinated they are. So if you can get a guy that's demonstrated, hey, I can do this, I can be, you know, I can challenge those things, that's something that's extremely valuable. But again, you're in a position where you could wait until the third round and still get a valuable dude who fits that role. And again, when I talk about Jimmy Morrison, I'm talking about in the sixth round. I'm not saying jump up in the fourth to get him. I'm talking about waiting for later, and then he could be your BJ Finney for the next, you know, four years or so. Like, hey, just move him around the interior offensive line. But when we're talking about these guys up higher, it's also interesting. Jalen Mayfield, I've seen him move around a bit, because when I first started looking at tape, I liked a lot of things that I saw, and I saw some people putting him up real high, but then over the past couple weeks, I've seen him getting pushed back more and more. And I'm like, interesting. I wonder what's behind that. But
short arms.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I was like, he's 6'5". He's not, you know, Samuel Cosmi. He's 6'7". And you know, Spencer Brown, he's 6'8.5". Those type of things do factor in. And I think people are looking like, well, you know what? He may be feisty. He may go after it and get people, but we want this build of these guys who also go after and get people.
Yeah, because you're going to, you know, most of these edge rushers, you look at some of the edge rushers in this year's draft, these guys that are 6'7".
Yes.
They've got long arms. And so, again, you better be able to reach out and get them, get that punch out to them, and put your fist in their chest. And if you've got 32-inch arms as opposed to 34-inch arms, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Phillips, Gregory Rousseau, Jason Owe, all of them are 6'5". And you know,
or bigger.
That's the thing. Like there's guys, and like, you know, you get even in the middle rounds, you got like Jordan Smith from UAB at
6'6".
Yeah. Like these are freakish. Like what people got to realize, because Steelers fans, they're used to, you know, like they'll talk about James Harrison. James Harrison is like 5'11". So like, it's ridiculous that he was doing what he did the way he did it. But now imagine like guys that now they have those long arms to just swim over you and push you back and engage. They'll be able to get to the offensive tackle before their hands go out. That's why Kelvin Beachum had to kind of move around a bit. And like, cause he was a smaller offensive tackle. And that's something I think the Steelers are learning to value, or not that they learned to value, they've learned to value those bigger guys. So I'm right with you, Dale. I think that's going to be there. But do you think there's a possibility with these day two picks? You and I are both saying that they're going after running back in round one. Are they going to double up and potentially triple up if they trade back on day two picks on the offense? Would they go offensive line with both second and third rounds?
They honestly could very well do that because, I mean, again, they want to improve that run game. Mm-hmm. And while running back certainly helps you do that, so do a couple of offensive linemen. And if you do that, you're potentially getting three starters, if not this year, down the road. And that's the way to do it.
I certainly think that's one way to do it. Another way could be looking at the tight ends, maybe with that third round pick. I've been interested to see that both Tommy Tremble, all three of Tommy Tremble, Hunter Long, and Brevin Jordan, they fluctuate a lot around that area.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Brevin Jordan fan either. I know you took him. He's undersized. He's mm-hmm. down the field. He's kind of like a smaller version of Ebron.
Do they really need that?
Yeah. Do they really need that guy? They need somebody – on the drive today with Matt Williamson, we took Hunter Long in the third round at 87. He was available. The ideal guy for the Steelers to get there would be Tremble. He's the best blocking tight end in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
And he tested really well. I think there's more meat on the bone there for him. If he's available there, he certainly helps you at that position as well. Long's a little bit of a, he was an inline tight end at Boston College, mm-hmm. but, not a great blocker.
Right.
So he needs to get better at that, but at least he's lined up in line. I think the idea is to find somebody there that can, be a serviceable number two to Ebron. To me, it's almost Tremble or bust. I don't want to hear this Pat Freiermuth stuff.
Yeah.
He couldn't block a toilet.
Yeah. Just,
because he's big. Just because he's big and he looks like he can block doesn't mean he can.
Yeah, I'm with you. Plus, I mean, I saw even a mock draft where he was drafted at 32, and I was like, I don't see that. But even if you have it, you don't need to worry about him in the second round because that's most likely where he's going. I think the sweet spot, if they want to get a tight end who's going to contribute right away this year, or at least be the number two behind Ebron and, someone that you can work with developmentally sooner rather than later, that third round pick could be where you get. And again, that's a guy who can help on the edge with blocking when you're trying to also help the run game in the next few seasons.
Yeah, tight ends, they take until they're like age 28 mm-hmm. to really hit their stride.
True.
It usually takes them 3 or 4 years. They're kind of very much like inside linebackers because you're being asked as an inside linebacker, you're either dropping in the zone, you're dropping in the man, you got to make reads off what the quarterback does. Did he hand the ball off? Did he keep it? For tight ends, okay, I'm blocking on this play. What's my blocking assignment? Are we running? Are we passing? I get a leak out in the coverage here. I got to read the defense on the run. Are they in man or are they in zone? So there's a lot there as opposed to, I'm an outside receiver and I'm just going to run my route. Mm-hmm. And I don't care. For tight ends, it takes them a long time to figure out, okay, where do I need to sit down in this zone at to be open? Those kind of things. And those are the little – that's why you can see guys at that position play into their mid-30s. Because it's more of an above the neck type position. It's also why you see so many former quarterbacks move to that position because it really helps them knowing what's the defense trying to do here,
right?
What are they trying to take away from us here? I'm going to sit down on this spot in the zone and I'm going to be open. Okay, it's an 8 yard game, but it's 8 yards. So I think mm-hmm. the tight end position is an interesting one. But it does take some developmental time.
It does take some developmental time. And I'd say, Dale, after that third round where you're looking at Hunter Long and Tommy Tremble and Jordan, there's a huge drop-off. Because then you're talking about Trey McKitty and, other guys. But those are all guys that, fourth, fifth round, that's when you're starting to get into Zach Gentry territory where it's like, okay, maybe.
Yeah, now you're just looking at somebody who's going to compete with Gentry for a job.
Exactly. And that's not going to help you right now, which is why I think that if there's a sweet spot for a tight end to actually believe in sooner rather than later, that third round could be it. But again, by signing Vince Williams and moving linebacker, back as far as a priority for those early rounds, that gives you more leverage to say, okay, we can get a running back and an offensive lineman, and then maybe we double up at O-line or tight end, or we go get a corner or a safety or one of those things. But, you know, or maybe a backup edge rusher at some point. But, you know, but again, that's what I thought would be really interesting to talk about, is the flexibility that's being offered by bringing back Vince Williams and how that might move around Kevin Colbert's big board. But thanks again, Dale, for being on the show. Thanks again to everyone for listening to this show. As always, you can subscribe to us. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on Amazon, we're anywhere podcasts are hosted. If you're enjoying DK Sports Radio and all the shows that we offer, please give us 5 stars. Give us a positive comment. Those things really help out the network. If you want to support us, don't forget, we got the new Ramon Foster show. That's part of the network, where he and Dejan Kovacevic talk about the show. We got DK's Daily Shots this weekend. You'll hear more about me on Pitt Sports. We got a Penn State show. We have all our different shows covering all the things right here on DK Sports Radio.